Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me.
Morning. I got saved on a Friday evening of a week-long tent meeting. I felt the Lord speaking to my heart all week, but I resisted. And Friday, when the pastor or evangelist preached on hell, I just went forward and accepted Christ as my Savior.
Amen. Aren't you glad that God doesn't quit speaking to us when we resist Him? Amen. I do want to say thank you for all the prayers for our little baby boy. He is, it's special to have him here. We're very relieved and thankful, and everything went well, but we do thank you for the cards and the prayers especially. And there is one more announcement. Pastor forgot it. I don't understand how he forgot. I mean, it's sitting right there. It's so obvious, but he just right over the top of it. But Sunday, March 9th, it's an important announcement, okay? Sunday, March 9th, we're going to be celebrating Pastor's 10th anniversary. Now, understand this is not their wedding anniversary, okay? They've been married, I know they look that young, but they've been married longer than 10 years. Pastor has been here as pastor for 10 years, so that's what we're going to be celebrating. We're going to have a potluck dinner after the morning service, so please bring a main dish and a vegetable or a salad. The dessert will be provided, but everyone is definitely encouraged to come. So, again, I can't figure out how he missed that announcement, but we got it in there, so an important one. If you would take your hymnals one more time, let's stand as we sing number 342. Number 342, Old Time Power. God, we need God's power today. And you know, we've been talking about it all morning. God hasn't changed. The times have changed, haven't they? But not really. I mean, think about how wicked the world was when Noah was around. And what did God do? Was God's power limited at that point? Nope. Boy, he showed his power really, really strongly at that point, didn't he? How about when Rome was going and it was just a disaster? I mean, God's power must have been limited, right? Oh, no. God sent his son at that point. His power was on full display. We've got a wicked world. Does that change anything about God's power? Not one thing. We need his power today. You say, well, I'm not wicked right now. Well, that's good. You're saved, okay? But you've still got a wicked flesh, don't you? Don't I? I need God's power today so that I can listen to the message that is brought from his word. So let's sing number 342. We'll just sing the first as we think about that, okay? It's still God. Let's sing it out. Here we go.
We are gathered for thy blessing. We will wait upon our God. We will trust in him who loved us and who bought us with his blood. Spirit, now melt and move all of our hearts with love. Breathe on us from above with all-time power.
Thank you. You can be seated.
All right. At this time, Brother Andrew Raridan, evangelist, is going to come and preach the Word of God to us. We've been glad to get to know him yesterday and today, and looking forward to the message.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Pastor. Enjoyed being with you all yesterday and today, and enjoyed time in Sunday school. How is everybody doing today? All right, that's good. That's good. A couple of folks said bad. No, I'm just joking. It's good to be with you all. And it is a good day to be in church. I love Sundays. I love Sundays. I love coming to the house of God on Sundays. And, oh, I got to turn this on, don't I? Oof, man, I don't want to get in trouble with the sound guy. That's the last thing you want. Okay, is that working?
Okay, sorry. My dad did junior church for 20 years, and sometimes it ekes out every once in a while. And no, it's good to be with you all today. Like I mentioned, my name is Andrew Reardon, and I'm with Ambassador Baptist Ministries, and Pastor mentioned it'd be all right just to say a word about that ministry. We travel all over the nation. I've met a couple of folks who lived on the mission field, and I love getting around missionaries because one thing that I love about missionaries is they are consumed with the country that God has called them to be at. And missionaries on deputation, you get around them, and you know every time you try and talk to them, the topic ends up about, well, you know, I can't wait to get to the field and this and that. And Pastor, even in just conversating with you, so many times it floods back to the burden that you had as you were on the mission field. And that's how I can relate with that burden, because that's how I feel about our country. And God has overwhelmed me and put inside of me a burden for America. And there are so many churches in America that need help. And so that's what Ambassador Baptist Ministries does. That's a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, sent out of Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. Pastor Terry Angel, who you support, Ben Angel, and then Cherith Angel, now Cherith Hansen, to Panama. And so we thank you for that. And that's our burden. Our family is burdened about the churches in America. There are far too many that are closing instead of opening, and dwindling instead of growing. So we want to help and be a blessing in any way that we can. And whether that's through the vein of preaching, we do a lot of that as we go from place to place. And a lot of times what we like to do is instead of just go for, you know, a one day or one service, we want to go and be there for, some instances it's 3 or 4 days, some instances it's 3 or 4 weeks, and just plug into a church and lift up the arms of the pastor, as you saw in the Old Testament with Moses. And that's what we want to do. And sometimes that means preaching. Sometimes that means going soul winning. There are times I've gone to a church and 8 hours a day or more, I'll be just out soul winning, trying to get people saved and into the church and provide them with some folks or prospects. Now, sometimes it's just, you know, sweeping or cleaning out a closet or something like that. Sometimes it's doing soul winning training. I get to do that from time to time. I get to do that a lot, and I love it. And I love soul winning, and I there's nothing like winning somebody to the Lord, but there's something special about seeing somebody win their first person to the Lord, and being able to help folks and equip them with how to do that is a blessing, part of the ministry. One of the big things that we do on a very consistent basis is our Bible handout ministry. And that's something that we got started there at Faith Baptist during COVID, when it was tough to go out. And if you went outside of your house and tried to knock on people's door, at least where we were at, the authorities were wondering why you were out. And then anybody that answered were wondering why you were out. And what are you doing at my house? And all those types of things. So it was tough to get the gospel out. Well, the founder of Ambassador Baptist Ministries, who pastored for a long time and now has been traveling for a long time, he went to our pastor and said, brother, I can't do this not going soul winning thing anymore. I can't sit on my hands anymore. I've got to do something. And so he had thought of an idea, and we implemented it. We went to a Walmart parking lot and just parked the truck there and had some signs made that said free Bibles, and had a couple of boxes of Bibles and put those signs on our truck. And we just said, well, we're just going to see if anybody wants to come and get a Bible, and maybe we can give them the gospel. And we were shocked by what we saw. And within 2 hours, we had passed out over 20 Bibles and seen, I think it was four, I don't want to exaggerate, so I'm going to say four, although I believe it was more than that, folks get saved in a two-hour time span. And we said, you know, we think we're going to try that again. And we kept on doing it there at Faith Baptist. And then once traveling was made easier again and we're back on the road, now that over there's over 100 churches that are consistently doing the Bible handout ministry, we have no idea, and we don't really care how many churches are doing it and how many souls have been saved. And and Bibles passed out, because it's not about a number. But we don't even know how many churches are doing it. I just was in a church not too long ago, and they said, oh, yeah, we heard about another church in the area doing that, so we got a couple of Bibles ourselves, and we're starting to do it, and seeing people saved, seeing people baptized and added to the church. And that's the goal of Ambassador Baptist Ministries, is to help your church reach your community for Christ, because that's what we're here for. And with that ministry, it's really been a blessing to be able to bring that from church to church. It's a ministry that's for everybody. Senior saints, a lot of folks that aren't able to go door to door for long periods of time just because physically it's taxing. With a Bible handout ministry, they can sit in a long chair, and then when someone pulls up, they can walk to their car, hand them a Bible, and give them the gospel. For folks that are new to soul winning, or teenagers that are trying to learn soul winning, or adults that are getting into soul winning and trying to learn it, Bible handout ministry is a great way to see other people give the gospel many times in just a couple of hours, and help you learn how you can too give the gospel. And it's nice because people are coming to you asking to have a Bible. So people are coming to you, telling you by coming to you that they're interested in spiritual things. And so if you're new to soul winning, that's a great way to talk to people, because everybody's interested. And then even kids, my daughter, she's about to turn 4. She'll go out with us, and she doesn't give people the gospel, but she can hold a sign that says free Bibles and hand somebody a Bible through a car window, and then let mom or dad talk to them. And tell you what, people like getting a Bible for free, but people love when a little cute 4-year-old girl hands them a Bible. That does even more so. And so it's become a tremendous tool. It's not replacing anybody's soul winning ministry. It's just and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the day is approaching, and we can see the signs of the times all around us. Like I said, in Sunday school, people are hungry for truth. And it's a blessing to be a part of that ministry and get that going. So if you would pray for us as we travel, for safety and for financially and all those different things. But more than that, there's a verse in Colossians. I wish I knew the passage. It says, pray that the door of utterance would be opened. And that's what we pray for, is that everywhere that we go, God would open the door of utterance so that we can relay the message of the gospel to people. So once again, thank you for praying for my family. And I feel bad sometimes. I tell my wife, I'm in this town, and Pastor took me out to this place and got to eat this went to this nice banquet with the church, and she's there with a newborn and a 3-year-old. But I'm excited to get back with them, and Lord willing, pretty soon we'll be on the road together. John chapter 15 is where we're going to be this evening. Pastor, do you usually have folks stand for the reading? Okay, all right. John chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I love being in church with God's people. Now, I'm a sports guy, and I like going to ball games, and I like going to, I like riding roller coasters and hanging out with people. And sometimes you go to a ball game and you kind of make friends with the people that are sitting around you, and by the end, you've kind of made a friend. But there's nothing like getting around the people of God. There's nothing around getting like the family members in the family of God. And the spirit, and the buzz, that Sunday morning buzz when you come into an auditorium and you can just feel the excitement. I love it. I love it, and I'm happy to be here with you all. Let's do this. If you're able to stand, why don't you stand? We'll just read a couple of verses. If you're able to stand, we'll stand, and we'll just read three or four verses here in John chapter 15, verse number 4. It says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." And let's do this. Let's read verse 7 altogether, if you would. Verse 7 altogether, here we go. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." I want to speak to this morning about the benefits of abiding. The benefits of abiding. And let's pray, and then we'll be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we gather around your word for just a couple of minutes this morning, God, that you'll illuminate the scriptures to us. And Lord, as I said in Sunday school, I don't want to share my message. I just want to be a microphone for your message, Lord. And I know without a doubt that if we grab a hold of this truth, Lord, it'll be a great encouragement to us, Lord. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sure. All right, we're gonna swap here. All right, how's that sound? That's good? That's all right? All right, we'll make this work. I like it. John chapter 15 is a great passage of Scripture, and a famous, if you want to use that word, a famous passage of Scripture, a well-known, well-renowned passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture takes place at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry as Jesus talks to his disciples right after the Last Supper. He washes their feet, and then Simon Peter did what Simon Peter tended to do. He made a big spectacle out of it. He washes their feet, and Simon Peter kind of makes a big deal out of it. And then Christ continues to speak to them about how he's soon going to be betrayed. Disciples ask who the guilty party is, and it becomes obvious, at least to you and I reading the story, it becomes pretty obvious that Judas is going to be the betrayer. Soon after that, Christ again gets into it with Peter, as they tended to do, and tells Peter that he's going to deny him three times. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with the message. I just think this is kind of interesting or funny. That's what ends chapter 13, is he says, "A cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." And then Christ begins chapter 14 by saying, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Now, I don't know about you, but I try and put myself in this situation. I kind of think that if I'm one of the disciples sitting there, I'm hearing Peter and Jesus, and Peter is just kind of going back and forth with Jesus, and then Jesus really just slams him, says, "You're going to deny me three times." I bet it's pretty quiet at the table for a couple of seconds after that. It's probably a little awkward. If I'm one of the disciples, I'm thinking, "Ooh, Peter, probably should have stopped talking a couple of minutes ago." And I wonder if Jesus kind of sensed like, okay, all right, now there's a little bit of awkwardness in the room. So he says, "You know what? I'm going to talk about something a little bit more uplifting." He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." He says, "Guys, it's okay. All right, calm down. All right, I'm going to tell you some really good news now." And that's what begins chapter 14. And he talks about heaven. And then he goes on a long monologue with many encouraging and challenging things that he tells the disciples. Then we get to chapter 15, where we pick up on the conversation. Christ in this chapter mentions the word abide or a word like it very often. In fact, 13 times in this chapter alone, you see the word abide, remain, keep, a word like that. Now, when I look at this chapter, it looks like it can be broken up into two sections. The first part of the chapter tells us abide with God. And then the second chapter tells us the benefits of abiding with God. So for the introduction, I want to look at how to abide with God. Because if we want to enjoy the benefits of abiding with God, we first have to know how to abide with God. That makes sense, right? So the first thing that we see is in how to abide with God, we have to understand who we are. Understand who we are. And that's a lot about what the first couple of verses are about. Verse number one, go ahead and look at that if you would. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." If he hasn't made it clear so far, he continues to make it even clearer in verse number 5. He straight up says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." So from reading this passage, it is extremely, abundantly clear that abiding in God is something that we desperately need. We need to abide with God. The way that he describes it in just the first 5 verses of this chapter, this is not something that would be good for you to do.
This is not something that would be a good idea, a suggestion for us to decide whether we should or not. No, he's saying, folks, you need to abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, for without me, ye can do nothing. The bottom line is a branch is useless without a tree. When I was a kid, I think every young man has had this job at some point in their life. When I was a kid, sometimes dad said, you got to go outside and pick up sticks. I think every young person, every young man at least, and probably most of the ladies in this room, at some point have been told by their mom or dad or whoever, you got to go pick up sticks. You know, we had a peach tree when I was growing up as a kid, and I would go and pick up those sticks, and I would take the sticks that had fallen and broken and had fallen to the ground. I would take all those up and put them in a pile. Now, I don't think I ever walked by the peach tree the next day after picking up all those sticks and walked up to that pile of sticks to see if there were any peaches growing from it. I never did that. Well, maybe I did. I was kind of a weird kid growing up. But if I did, it didn't make sense. If I did, it didn't make sense. And I'm the youngest, so I know if I did, my older brother and sister slammed me for doing it. I do remember that happening a lot of times. Any youngest in the room today? Yes, these are my people. No, I never went out there and said, man, where's all the peaches at? Why? Because those branches were dead. They weren't connected to the tree. They weren't connected to the vine. And the bottom line is, you and I, the Bible says, I'm not telling you what I believe, I'm just reading what the verse says, we can do nothing without him. If we're not connected to the vine as a branch, we're useless. We cannot partake in the nutrients without being connected to the vine, and it won't produce anything. Happy Sunday morning to everybody. I'm not trying to, this is going to be encouraging. I want to be an encouragement here, but first we have to just understand who we are. And that's who we are. We're useless without the vine. Next we see that we have to cleanse this is how to abide. I'll get to the benefits, but this is how to abide. We have to not only understand who we are, but cleanse ourselves through his word. Now, verse 3, now I love it. It's so simple, but it's so good. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. In order to have the ability to abide with God and partake in his spiritual nutrients, we must be cleansed through his word. Ephesians says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Aren't you glad that we have something that can cleanse us? Hey, he said it earlier, this world is a dirty world. This world that we live in is dirty. And if we dive into this world full-fledged and jump into the mud, we're going to be really, really dirty. And we need this word to cleanse us. But you know what? Even just by being in this world, we get dirty. Even just by living in the dirty world, the dirt gets on us. I mean, we see that physically. If I go a whole day just living my life, I'm driving most days. I travel all the time. I can just have a day where I get in the car and I drive for hours and hours and hours, and I get out, I've been in one place pretty much all day, and I look and I got dirt under my fingernails. How did that happen? I need to take a shower at the end of the day. How did that happen? I didn't even really do anything, because we live in a dirty world. I mean, dirt seeps in, doesn't it? And if you don't think so, then and you go a couple of days without showering, people are going to tell you, dirt seeped in. That's just how life is. Well, spiritually, it's the same way. I mean, we do what we need to do. We spend the time with God that we need to spend with. But you know what? Dirt just kind of seeps in. And daily, we need to cleanse ourselves through the word. We need to constantly be cleansing ourselves through the word. By humbling ourselves and cleansing ourselves through the word, we can abide in him. What a blessing. What a blessing. Okay, so before I go into the main part of the message, I want to say if you're not doing that, if you won't recognize who you are and cleanse yourself through the word, I urge you, you'll want to do it. You'll want to do it. I'm about to explain the benefit, because that's how you abide with Christ. I'm about to explain the benefits of abiding with Christ. Now, if you struggle with that, I urge you, do what you got to do to get to where you can abide with Christ. Do what you got to do. Just be honest with yourself. I say, hey, I can't be. Try doing this life on my own. I can't keep making decisions on my own. I got to realize that without him, without being connected to him, I'm nothing. Any decision that I make is going to be a nothing decision. I have to connect myself to him. And if we do have a couple of good days or a couple of good things break our way, that's just the grace of God. That's not anything that we've done. We need to connect ourselves. So, and also, we need to cleanse ourselves through the word. Constantly let this word cleanse us. I'm so glad that I don't have to find a way to cleanse myself. I'm so glad that I don't have to do that spiritually, I'm talking about. But God says, hey, I've got the solution to the dirt in your life. It's right here. Don't try and come up with your own thing. Don't say, this is probably what would help. No. He says, don't worry about that. You don't even have to. Just read this word. Just get in this word and it'll cleanse you. What a blessing. Now, if I look around and I see a lot of good people in this room. I don't know everybody individually, but I met a few of you last night. And I look around and this seems like a place where people are trying to abide in Christ. You recognize who you are. You're trying to cleanse yourself through this word. You're here. That's a good start for sure. I want to encourage you. Here's a couple of reasons why not to stop. I hope this is an encouragement to you this morning. If you're trying to abide with God, here are some benefits of abiding with God. And one more thing before I go any further. Christ doesn't have to give us benefits for abiding with him. I mean, he makes the rules, right? He's the master of everything. He's the creator of the universe. He's the king of kings, the Lord of lords. If he wanted to, he could say, hey, you need to understand who you are. You're nothing without me. You need to cleanse yourself through my word, and you just got to live like that. Okay, it's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. You're going to be miserable, and that's just how it is, but I want you to do it. He could say that. He could have. But he says, you know what? He loves us so much. I don't know why, but he loves us so much that he says, this is how you abide with me. And if you do abide with me, here are some benefits that you can enjoy. So I hope to encourage you. These are some of the benefits that we see in this chapter. Benefits of abiding with God. Number one, producing fruit provides glory to God. In verse number 8, it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. The purpose of branches is to produce fruit. I know, I'm blowing minds here this morning. The purpose of branches is, hey, if I walked out to that peach tree and there's no peaches on it, and then I go the next day and there's no peaches on it, and I go the next day and there's no, and then a month later and there's no peaches, and then a month later and there's no peaches, and then next year there's no peaches, and the next year there's no peaches, that's going to be pretty disappointing, isn't it? That's going to be pretty frustrating, isn't it? Especially as much as work as you have to do, you're going to constantly, what am I doing wrong? What's going on with this thing? Why is this thing not produced? Where's the peaches? The whole purpose of these branches is so that I can get some peaches off of them. Purpose of branches is to produce fruit. The purpose of Christians is to produce spiritual fruit, according to the Bible. So shall, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So producing fruit is what glorifies God. Now, that's not talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Those are the fruits of the Spirit, that he produces those in our lives. What I believe this verse is talking about is producing other Christians. Going out and producing fruit. Producing other Christians. This is what glorifies God. Think about that. By producing fruit, we can give glory to God. We can give glory to God. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some people that I know in my personal family that are tough to get a gift for. Do you know anybody like that? Someone that's tough to buy a gift for? I have a couple of people like that in my family. My dad's one of them. I love my parents. I don't want to ever sound like I'm talking bad about my parents, but I will say this. My dad's hard to get gifts for, and here's why. Dad doesn't understand that the reason that things go on sale at Black Friday and coming up to Christmas is so that other people can buy you the gift and give it to you. Dad always goes out on Black Friday and he comes home and he's like, look at this tool that was on sale. I'm like, yeah, I know it was on sale because I went and I got it so I could give it to you. That's not the purpose of Black Friday, so you can go out and get things for yourself. Now what am I supposed to do? Some people are hard to get gifts for. Some people are hard to get gifts for because they just don't like a lot of, they're not a thing person. They're not a stuff person. I got another brother-in-law like that, which he's just the modern word is like a minimalist, but he's just a simple guy. He doesn't like a whole lot of stuff. So, but at Christmas and birthday, I'm like, I got to get him something. What do? It's tough to get a gift for people. And you know what else is tough is when you give somebody a gift and you don't know if they're going to like it or not. Anybody married in the room today? You ever had a gift that you were going to give to your loved one and you weren't sure if they were going to like it or not? I have. You know, an anniversary comes around and you're like, well, let's just see what happens here. Let's see how this goes. And you give it and you're just kind of looking for the reaction. And spouses, you know. I mean, you know And it's like, oh, you know, everyone knows what that means. Like, what is it? Oh, you don't want to hear that. What is it? What is it? It's always a bad sign. And you know, it's okay. All right. Well, at least there's something there. But the opposite end of that spectrum is it's awesome when it's such a great feeling when you're giving somebody a gift that you know they're going to like. I love that feeling. When a couple of years ago, I'm not a coffee drinker. I know I'm a weirdo. Everybody always says I'm weird. I'm not a coffee drinker. But my wife likes coffee. And she likes the, I don't even know, like the espresso stuff with the foam and all the white stuff. I don't even know what it is. But she likes it. And so I got her this machine. It was on a sale because those things can get crazy. But this one was on a big sale. Yeah, it was a latte thing. And a latte machine, and it was on sale, and it was really, really good price, so I got it for her. And you know what? When I was wrapping up that gift, it was a lot of fun because I knew she was going to like it. And then as it was coming close to the Christmas, I was getting more and more excited because I knew she was going to like it. And when it came time for her to open that gift, as she's opening it, I didn't have any nervousness or that, like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. No, I was pumped up because I knew she was going to like it. It's awesome when you can give somebody a gift you know they're going to like. What a tremendous relief it is to you and I to know that we can give God something we know that he's going to like. We can give God glory. We can give God glory, and we can be confident. We don't have to wonder or be nervous if God's going to like his gift, but we can have confidence that by producing fruit, we can give God a gift that he wants from us, and that's glory. Hey, what a blessing that is. What a benefit of abiding with God. Think about it. Talk about the person that has everything. Talk about the one, I mean, talk about hard to gift for. I mean, God has everything. Hey, you want money, God? No, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Okay, you know, what else do I get? You want my talent? No, I can do anything I want to do. Okay, all right. You want my knowledge? No, I know everything. Okay, what can we give God? Well, he says, you know what? If you produce fruit, you can give me glory. What a benefit. I mean, after all he's done for me, that I can give him a gift I know he's going to like by producing glory for him. What a benefit that we get to give God something that we know he's going to like. We can produce glory. We can produce fruit and provide glory to God. That's a benefit of abiding. Also, we see obedience provides friendship with God. So producing fruit provides glory to God, and obedience provides friendship with God. Verse number 14, same chapter. It says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Friendship with God. Friendship. Now, friendship, I believe a lot of us would agree, all of us would agree, friendship is built on mutual respect. Mutual respect. I remember another job I had, I talked about working at True Green in Sunday school, and everybody loved me at that job. I mean, you know, who doesn't love a salesman? Well, they also loved me at my other job because I was a collector. Yes, I was everybody. Man, I was just the most popular guy in my town. I was a salesman and a collector at Chase Bank, calling people up saying, hey, remember that vacation? Yeah, it was great. Now you got to pay for it. You know, man, I was Mr. Popular. No, but I'm joking around, but I worked there, and the department head of all collections, his name was Fez. He was an Indian guy. His name was Fez. And I remember when I first got there, he came at the end of training, and he spoke to us. I mean, and that was a big deal. Like, the department head, Fez, is coming to talk to us. And I remember when he came in, you know, all the chit-chat stopped, you know, and everybody kind of sat up straight. And it was intimidating because this is kind of a bigwig, the head honcho here. And it was kind of nerve-wracking. And I remember where his office was. And when I first got there, you know, I would take the long route to my cubicle because I didn't really want to. I mean, it was just kind of scary. Like, that's the department head. Well, I worked there for a little while, and I don't want to sound like I'm bragging because I wasn't anything. I ended up doing really good at the job. Me and another guy, we did really, really good at the job. And it's not because I was an amazing person, but nowadays, bottom line is, and y'all know this, if you show up to work on time, you don't take a bunch of days off, and you don't leave early, and you just do your job, that's pretty rare nowadays, honestly. So I would just do those things, and man, you know, I was well-respected because I was doing a good job. Well, I was just doing what I was supposed to do. But the bottom line is, when he gave orders, we listened, and we worked hard, and because we did, he had a little bit of respect for myself and a couple of us that were high performers. I remember one time he says, hey, Fez would like you to come to his office, you and a couple others. We're like, uh-oh, what did I do? I have no idea. Why would he want to talk to us? And so we were nervous, but we walked over to his office, and it turns out that he wanted to congratulate us and give us a little award for the work that we had done. And after that, he ended up, every once in a while, he'd come by the desk. He'd come by our cubicle and say, hey, you know, I appreciate you. I heard that this happened. Good job. And eventually, he'd call us into his office more regularly, and he'd ask our opinion on stuff. And now my manager and supervisor, they didn't like that, but the department head, he was the main guy. So he would ask us for our opinion, and he would listen to us. And after a while, the relationship was less boss and employee, and it became more of a friend relationship. And you know what? By the time I left that company, I wasn't avoiding his office when I was walking to my cubicle. I would stop in on Monday and say, hey, man, how was your weekend? You know, did you do anything, go anywhere? You know, I would stop in and just say hi on a very consistent basis. I believe that that's what this verse is teaching. It says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Friendship is built on mutual respect. When we respect God's positioning in our lives, we're able to become closer and closer to him and develop a friend relationship. Verse 15, it says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things have I heard that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. What a great benefit to have friendship with God. When we obey him, when we respect his position in our lives, hey, too many people look at God as the one that tells you what to do. You know, the taskmaster and the ruler. And he is those things, but he doesn't have to just be that. Hey, a benefit of abiding with God is through obedience, we can have a friendship relationship with the God of the universe. Does it get any better than that? And I tell you what, it was a good thing to have the head honcho, the department head, as my friend. I mean, there were a couple of times that came in handy. I want to tell you what comes in handy. It's having a friendship relationship with God. Man, when you're in hard times and stuff, the boss isn't the one that comes and checks in on you. It's a friend. When you're going through mountains and when you're going through a deep valley and the trials of life, you don't need a boss. You don't need a taskmaster. You need a friend. And Jesus, God, can be that friend through obedience. By abiding in God, we can obey him and enjoy the friendship of God. These are benefits of abiding. Hey, if you're trying to abide in Christ and you're trying to understand who you are and connect yourself to the vine, I encourage you, you're going to continue to develop that friendship with God. What a blessing, what a benefit. And then we also see persecution for his name's sake. In verse number 21, it says, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Hey, one that abides with God isn't going to always be Mr. Popular. I mean, the world has their ideas. The world has their philosophies. They've got their doctrines. They've got their plans. And those are very different from God's. So if we stand up for God, if we stand alongside God, it's persecution's honestly more likely than popularity. But persecution is not enjoyable. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, man, it's great to be persecuted. I'm not saying that. But it's not enjoyable. But it is for a purpose. And it is a benefit of abiding with God. Think about this. In 1 Peter, it says, "Happy if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." Through persecution, we can magnify God. Think about this. For some people, the only time that they ever think about God is when they're criticizing you. Isn't that interesting? The only time that, when I worked in the secular world, and even sometimes with family members, this can happen. If you're dedicated to God and you're at church three times a week and for Sunday school and you're trying to live right and you hold yourself to a certain standard, people are going to poke at you. People are going to question you. People are going to criticize you. And sometimes they're going to be... Now, persecution that we face here in the States is nothing compared to other countries. You know that, preacher. But still, we face a level of persecution. And sometimes, on the Bible handout, we see it. We're waving to people, trying to give people Bibles, and people drive by and honk their horn and give us an ugly look or shout something out the window. And you know what? Hey, at least they're thinking about God. If I wasn't standing here, if they weren't criticizing me, they probably wouldn't have thought about God all day. But because they're criticizing, at least God is entering their thoughts. That's a benefit. It's part of persecution. But you know what else persecution does? It helps you know you're pleasing God. In verse number 19 of our chapter, it says, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Hey, you know what's nice about persecution? That's a benefit of being persecuted for God's sake. Is it helps you know, when you're facing persecution, it helps you know that you're doing something right. Helps you know that you're doing something right. Hey, if the devil's not bothering you, if the devil's just leaving you alone and he's not trying to fight you at all, that's not a good place to be in. What I heard one preacher say was, we're all soldiers of Christ. And if you're in the fight with Christ against the devil and you've got no bruises or scrapes or cuts, then you got to ask yourself, how hard are you fighting? Hey, when you face persecution, just know that's God telling you that you're doing something right, that you're taking a stand for him. And that's a benefit of abiding with God. And then the last thing here in closing, in fact, if you ask my opinion, this is probably the best benefit of all of them. We have so far, producing fruit provides glory to God. Obedience provides friendship with God. And then persecution for his namesake. But lastly, let's look at verse 26 and 27. Last two verses. The last benefit. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. A bonus benefit is the presence of the Comforter in your life. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. When you're trying to produce fruit and the struggles of life make it difficult, the Comforter is there. Hey, when you're abiding and trying to obey and the devil's fighting you and the flesh is weak and you're trying to obey, can I tell you the Comforter is there? Hey, when you're facing persecution of any size, whether it be little or great, and you're struggling to keep faithful, the Comforter is there. With the Comforter, there's peace. And an old hymn talks about the benefit of abiding with God. There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I have a peace that has come here to stay. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely. He whispers, oh so kind, I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine. Hey, have you struggled to abide in Christ? Is the struggle to abide in Christ? Are you struggling to be humble and recognize who you are? Do you struggle to faithfully cleanse yourself through his word? Can I tell you, hey, it's worth it. The benefits of abiding with Christ are so worth it. Hey, if you're out there and you say, you know, I've been trying. It's been hard, but I've been trying. I've been trying to stay faithful to his book. I've been trying to stay close to him. And it doesn't say visit him. It doesn't say visit me. It says, no, abide in me. Abide, that means to dwell, to set up residence. And too many people are going through hard times and they're blaming God, but they're only visiting God. They visit God on Sundays, and that's it. Or they visit God for a couple of minutes in your Bible reading in the morning, and then that's it. It's easy to do. I'm not going to say that I haven't been there at times in my life. But when you abide with God, when you make it a priority, this day I'm just going to set up my tent with God. You're going to enjoy the benefits. If you're trying to abide with God, can I tell you the benefits are coming? Benefits are coming. You just keep being obedient, and that friendship you have with God is going to get greater and greater. Hey, you might be facing some persecution, but don't worry. You're helping other people think about God. Hey, and you know what? The Comforter's always there. He will never leave me, whispers oh so kind, the benefits of abiding. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear God, we don't deserve the love that you show us. But Lord, I ask that you just help us to understand what it is that we can get out of abiding in you. Lord, we're grateful enough that we are able to abide in you. We don't even deserve that. But Lord, not only do you allow us to abide in you, you say that you're going to give us benefits of abiding in you. Lord, I pray that this morning, that if anybody's struggling with whether to keep up the fight, whether to keep up the obedience, whether or not it's worth it to go out and share the good news of the salvation with a person and try to produce fruit, Lord, I pray that you'll help them to understand if they go out and do those things, they're going to enjoy the benefits of abiding.
The comforter will be there. They'll be able to produce fruit, Lord, and they'll be able to just be with you. Lord, I pray that you'll help us today to understand the important truths of your word.
Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. And as the piano plays, if God's spoken to your heart, maybe you want to come and talk to him about abiding with him. Maybe you want to come and talk to him about your fruit bearing. Abiding is a everyday, really every hour thing. Abiding is different than just showing up to church on a Sunday. It means you're walking with him day by day. You have fellowship with him. And there's results of that abiding. All right, and we need to be abiding Christians, don't we? And it becomes evident in our lives, and I hope that you would just stay, keep walking with God, and be soul conscious. God loves souls, we should love souls, and looking forward to that. And then looking forward to tonight, so I hope that you see you again tonight, and do remember I have a trustees meeting tonight after service, and so we'll meet in the choir room a few minutes after service. We'll greet our evangelist and send him on his path, on his travels, and then we'll have that meeting as well. And my wife and I have been married for 30 years, by the way. So, you know, we have a daughter that's 26 that really needs to be, it is not 10, it has been here for 10 years. So, okay. You have a great afternoon, all right?